chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. St. Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." Dear friends, good morning. The church has set apart this day as the Mission Sunday. And we remember today the ministry of Voluntary Evangelist Association of our church. And this association has come into being when one of our metropolitans, Abraham Martama, he told every member of the church, "As a member of the church, you are a missionary. As a member of the church, you are a missionary." Today morning, I had a session with the Sunday school children of this parish. And speaking to them, I raised the question, "Do you realize that you are called and set apart to be a missionary?" And I spoke to them about Ida Sophia Scudder. You know that she is the one who founded Christian Medical College in Velu. And it has now 2,000 beds, indicating that this hospital is one of the leading hospitals in the country of India. And where is she from? She is from the United States of America. And that raises the question, being here in the United States of America, do you understand that there is a role for every member of this church, young and old, men and women, that you are called to be a missionary of the church? It is possible. It may be difficult. It may bring restrictions in your life. It may lead you to certain disciplines in life. But though it may look to be very hard, it is possible. And therefore, the question is, are you able to commit yourself to the great call God has given to you? And to be strengthened by His grace, not by your ability, but the grace of God, by the grace of God. And once He is calling you, and when you are committing yourself into the hands of God, remember, it is the love of God that will be filled in your hearts and minds, and the grace of God will strengthen you for the great call, and the Holy Spirit will be guiding you to the places wherever God is sending you. It is possible. It is possible. Mission belongs to God, not to any human being, not to any parish as it is. Mission is not anthropocentric. Mission is not ecclesiocentric, but it is theocentric. Theo means God. It is centered around God, who has revealed His mission through sending His Son and our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And the mission is revealed through the Lord of the Church. And this mission is continuous. It deals with the contemporary challenges of the world. And that brings out ways and means by which the resurrected Lord can act today in and through our lives. The scripture portion that we read today is not telling us about the 12 disciples whom Jesus Christ called and set apart. It is speaking about 72 others. Underline that word, others. Every person is given this mission to be participant in the great mission of God. To be participant in the great mission of God. So God will be the lead, will be giving us the lead, God will be the guide, and God will be the one who will be working in and through us to carry out his mission. The scripture portion is also telling us that he is sending the 72 people, 72 others, to go to the towns and places where Jesus wanted to go. It is not the other way around. That's the difference. It is not to the places wherever he went. Instead, it is to the places where Jesus had to go. In other words, the 72 people are paving way for the Lord to go into the towns and places where he wanted to reveal the will of God. So we are agents of mission. We are participants of mission. We are instruments in the hands of God, where God will strengthen us to carry out his mission. And again, underline his mission. Jesus Christ is defining the task that the 72 people had to carry out through their lives. He is defining it. He is telling them, go into the villages to prepare a way for me to go there. It is Emil Brunner, a theologian, who said, the church exists by her mission as the fire exists by burning. The church exists by mission. David J. Bush once said, mission is not primarily an activity of the church, but an attribute of God. Wherever the mission is carried out, wherever the mission is revealed, remember, God is revealing himself in time and in space. Again, the question that comes to our mind is, are we able to feel the presence of God in our lives, in all the things that we do? And are we able to glorify him all the more in carrying out his mission? As I have already told you, mission is participatory in nature. Now, the scripture portion is telling us Jesus Christ is sending the 72 two by two. It is not simply single-handed mission that is carried out by us. The mission is to be carried out in a community and by the community. How has God revealed himself to us? God has revealed himself to us as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Participatory in nature, mutuality in the very role that they are carrying out, giving understanding to each other, and we know that there are three persons, yet one. So when God is telling us that you go two by two, when God is sending us to say that you are to carry out the mission as a group, as a community, there's a question of reconciling yourself with the other. There's a question of feeling the presence of God. It is a question of experiencing the Holy Spirit, enabling you to understand that you are not two, but one. So it is with one accord and with one mind that you are called to participate in mission. And that's what we read in the Acts of the Apostles.
when the early disciples, when they were at a loss in understanding that God, the one who resurrected from the dead, he ascended, and now his physical presence is not visible. When they were at a loss, God is telling them, come together, sit together, be of one accord, one spirit, pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will fill you up. And you will be led to carry out the mission and the ministry that is expected of you from now onwards. Friends, as we gather together in this church, let us also remember that we are one community. One community of believers. One community that represents the body of Christ. And together, we are called to glorify him. An anthropologist once went into one of the villages in South Africa. And being with the children over there, he called them all together and then said, right there beyond where you can see a tree, at the foot of the tree, I have kept a basket of sweets. And whoever goes from here and reaches there first can have the entire basket for your own. To his surprise, to the surprise of the anthropologist, the one who went there to study about the people of South Africa, he realized that these children were not simply running, competing one after the other, but they were holding themselves together, holding their hands together, putting their shoulders together, and they were moving as a group. Coming back with the basket, the anthropologist asked them the question, why did you do this? You could have gone one by one, and then whoever was winning could have received a basket of sweets. Then they said, in our culture, in our society, and in our body, we experience joy only by sharing the joy with one another. And it is not a question of who will go first. It is a question of being together and then going forward to reap the harvest. Dear friends, this is the spirit for which God has called us together to be one church, one parish, where we gather together for worship. There's a beautiful book written by the collector of Pathanamthitta, Dr. Iyer, who has said, in the celebration of Onam in Kerala, which is now a global phenomenon, in the celebration of that festival, you cannot celebrate that single-handed. If you want to put flowers, Attambuvidil, if you want to do that, there should be a group of people who will be plucking flowers and then coming and doing that together. If you want to have some games on the day of Onam, it is a question of people coming together and participating in the various feasts. And if you want to celebrate Onam with a beautiful dinner or the various things that you prepare at home, the joy comes to you, not in simply preparing it. Joy comes to you in sharing that with other people in the home and in the neighborhood. Friends, I am a student of religion, and I studied here in McMaster, Canada. I studied about the religious history, and it speaks about how at the time of the harvest season, when people go into the religious place of worship and have celebrations there. You call it Pongala. I do not know how many of you know that, but they go with a portion of their harvest into the temple compound. They have a place where this payasam can be prepared. And once they prepare, once that is sanctified, they will go back to their home sharing that payasam with everybody they will see on the road. So the pot may be half by the time they reach home. They are not disappointed. And it goes further. Whoever comes to that home on that day, they will be sharing it with them. And whoever is in their neighborhood, they will be sharing that. There's a word, Ubuntu, in South Africa. And that speaks to us about people who are generous, people who are kind and merciful, people who not only understand the need of other people, but also share their resources, time, talents, money, everything, share their resources for the benefit of the other. Jesus Christ is here telling the 72, go to the towns and places where I want to go. We will very well say if we are together as a group of 10 people, there are some who are not talented, who are not experts or who are not specialists. It can happen in any community where you compare yourself with other people and then say, that person, forgive me for using the word, useless. But the scripture is telling us that that person is not useless to your mind and your group. He may be less used. This means given an opportunity, given a space and time, he'll be able to do things that will excel the things that you may perform by yourself. I have completed 50 years of my priestly ministry. And in celebrating that, the church has decided that we'll pick up students who are not able to meet their educational expense. We'll see that they will study further and go to the extent possible. Given an opportunity, even the least in the society, the last in the society, or the lost in the society can excel than many of us, given an opportunity. In many a time, that opportunity is denied to several people for one reason or the other. Take away all the obstacles, take away all the hurdles, allow them to go forward. Allow them to do their best. Giving an opportunity is itself is a ministry. Giving an opportunity that will carry out miracles by the grace of God, by the working of the Holy Spirit. Single-handedly, Ida Scudder went into Velu. Single-handedly, she decided to work among the people who were lepers, people who were having cholera, people who were sick in one way or the other, single-handedly and at the foot of a tree, with only one table and a chair there. From there, God blessed the whole effort, opened opportunities, where she decided that I'll start now a school of medicine for the women of this place. And the friends of Ida Scudder ridiculed her by saying that you may not get even 3 students coming for admission. You can think about the prohibitions that were there in the society for the women to come out of their home or go into the colleges and universities. And therefore the people said, you may not get even 3. But everybody was surprised when opportunity was given and the students were going in to get admission. And Ida Scudder had to choose people to give admission for 250 girls. 250 girls. Think it the other way around. We were denying opportunities for 250 girls who could have come up in society as doctors, who could treat the people, the poor people, the sick people in the state of Tamil Nadu. Mission is to be carried out in community. WCC said mission is from everywhere to everyone. God is the one who is empowering us. God is the one who is reminding us of the mission which God has given to us. There's a beautiful narration in the Gospel of St. John regarding the disciple Thomas. When Jesus Christ appeared after his resurrection, Thomas was not there. Other disciples were there, other 10 disciples were there. They saw Jesus Christ and they believed in him. And Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit upon them, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then he said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Thomas was not there. After 8 days, when Thomas came to the community, Jesus appeared in their midst again and turned to disciple Thomas. "Thomas, don't go on doubting. Believe. If you are saying that you want to see the wounded hands, here it is. If you want to see the wounded side, here it is. You can put your finger, you can put your hand and see. It is marvelous in our sight to know that when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the scars were there on his body. And that helped disciple Thomas to understand that the one who is standing before him is the one who died for him and for the whole world for the redemption of the people. The one who has died on the cross is now before him, enabling him to understand that he is risen and he is alive. And he is calling now the disciple, Thomas. "Thomas, don't remain as a doubting Thomas. Come out. You have a mission. Go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom of God." And that beautiful narration we have in the 20th chapter of St. John. He's telling us that Thomas believed in the risen Lord. He accepted the mission and he went into distant places of our motherland. And that formed us as a religious community. The risen Lord is in our midst. And the question is, do you believe, or are you still hesitant and are you still doubtful? Take away that. Come out of it. Remember that the Lord, the risen Lord, is commanding you to go, asking you to carry out the mission that is given to you. And remember that you have a mission. And we are, dear friends, we are accountable for that in the presence of God when He is judging each one of us. Prayer gives us strength. Prayer enables us to understand the call. Prayer enables us to understand the mission. Prayer enables us to understand that the grace of God will strengthen us and the Holy Spirit will guide us. Dear friends, the senior members can remember or recall that it is a prayer group in Kaviyu in Kerala that enabled 3 members of that community, that group, to go out into Madhya Pradesh and start a mission in Satna. A prayer group that sat together and prayed for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It is a prayer group where the late Dr. C. E. Abraham, the principal of the Sarambur College, who sat with the theological students and prayed about, "Lord, where do you want these students to go after their seminary education here?" The Lord sent them to go into Madhya Pradesh again to a place called Sihora, where we have the ashram now. It was when a young person in the Mathurma church who was graduating in the Madras Christian College. In those days, graduates were few. And one who had the privilege of going to the Madras Christian College and learning there, he found a prayer circle. And it is from that prayer circle that he understood that he has to go to Angola to carry out the mission there. Friends, are we not people of prayer? Are we not members of the church? Don't we need the grace of God? Don't we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Don't we need the love of God that binds us all together? If we ask for all these blessings, the question is, are we or are you using it for your own benefits? Exploiting the goodness of the Almighty God? Or are you humble enough, with all humility, to tell the Lord, Lord, you have created me, you have created me, and with your creation, you are reminding me that you have given me a mission. And help me to discern that. And once I discern that mission, help me to commit myself to carry out that mission. Then he takes over. Then he takes over. Not by our merit, not by our ability, but by the grace of God that the mission is carried out wherever it is to be carried out. It's not simply the preaching of the word of God, gospel of the kingdom of God. It is also being there as the ashram community is there among the people in several places of India. Doing the medical work as Dr. Ida Scudder carried out. William Carey is called as the father of modern missions, and he is the one who translated the Bible into Bengali. He is the one who started a college over there, which has become a university now called the Sarambu University. All by a single person who became a group of three and started carrying out the ministry God gave them to carry out. They had dialogue with the people like Raja Ram Mohan Roy, P.C. Musumdar and Keshav Chandra Sen and the like. And that brought reformation even within the country India, who stopped several of the evil practices, including sadi, where when a man dies, it was the custom in those days that the woman also was taken to the fire to die with him. That was taken away. That evil practice was eradicated, all by the working of the Holy Spirit. Today, as we celebrate the day as the mission day, a day that the whole church is celebrating, let us remind ourselves that we are called out to be a missionary. It may be a missionary of a different kind, but a missionary who will respond to the challenges of the day, a missionary who will commit himself for the will of God. A missionary, he will go to any place where God is sending him or her. A missionary who will experience in his life or her life the grace of God that strengthens him or her, and also the Holy Spirit leading and guiding. Let us, in all humility, commit ourselves into that wonderful hands of God, into that mighty hands of God. The one who loves us, Jesus, the one who redeems us, leads us into carry out the mission God has given to us through Christ, and into the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, where we are reminded that you are not alone, you are with God and with your fellow believers.
Let that Spirit enable each one of us to find the mission for which God has created us and be there to carry out the God-given ministry. Let's bow our heads in prayer.